The British Columbia Supreme Court injunction against the protesters on Vancouver Island, what powers does it grant the logging company involved here, Teal Jones Group?
Yes, hello. Thank you, Juan. And I'm honored to be on the show and to be on with you, Katie. So the injunction that was granted to Teal Jones, it prohibits blocking of logging activities within a large area of several hundred square kilometers in southern, what's now known as Southern Vancouver Island. It doesn't prohibit people from being there. It just prohibits blocking logging. So there have been, as Katie's been talking about, there's been hundreds or thousands of people have been trying to stop that logging from taking place. But it doesn't prohibit people from being there. So there's been a kind of ongoing battle waged on a variety of fronts between the RCMP, who have been trying to keep land defenders out of the area to try to quell resistance.
And what about the tactics used by the police and especially the Mounties in terms of the protesters?
Yeah, it's been hugely concerning from a legal perspective. There has been, like I said, people have the right to peacefully protest, and the police ostensibly should just be arresting people who are violating the injunction. By blocking logging activities, but they've gone beyond that. There's been targeting of BIPOC Indigenous people, like in the video clip you showed of Katie. I think there's been many instances where people of color have been specifically targeted. Also, there's the RCMP have been using exclusion zones, which is something that was also used against Wet'suwet'en land defenders last year, and that's where they just block access on a logging road to sometimes, hundreds of kilometers of further logging road and all the territory that's behind that. So people then need to hike around or face arrest for trying to walk through. There's been a lot of violence used against people that are defending, that are nonviolently attaching themselves to the road or to tripods with sleeping dragons. And
Noah, we're going to have to leave it there, but we will continue to cover this issue. Noah Ross, attorney for land defenders at Ferry Creek Blockade, and Katie George Jim, Indigenous land defender. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Stay safe.
When I first came to Brookhaven Town, way, hey, 90.1, there was no good music to be heard around. Way, hey, 90.1. Then one day I turned on the dial. Way, hey, 90.1. There I found music to make me smile. Way, hey, 90.1. I waited for a legal ID. Way, hey, 90.1. The DJ said WUSB. Way, hey, 90.1. They start each day with the rising sun. Way, hey, 90.1. Don't ever finish till after day is done. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you want good music to hear, way, hey, 90.1. There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you like the sounds, do take a look. Way, hey, 90.1. At WUSB Stony Brook. Hey, 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 hey.
Yes, it is WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock. Time for another edition of Off the Wall. good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
What's up with you?
Oh, nothing.
Save things to the last minute again?
I don't know. I'm here.
All right. Well, it's been one of those days, and we've been doing a lot of things. But we're here now. We're here for this next hour.
I have no idea what's going on. So just fill me in. I have no clue. I've been totally just elsewhere. So what's going on?
There's a big election going on for one thing, out in California. There's also one going on in Canada next Monday, but I guess we're supposed to stick to the United States. The California election, that was the one that was kind of scary because a bunch of Republicans just managed to push through this recall because California has bizarre rules. And with a fairly small amount of people, you can start a recall campaign. And the way it's set up, it's like the governor is the person with the least chance of getting elected in the state. All these people can run against him, and there are two questions on the ballot. The first question is, should the governor be recalled? Now, in order for him not to be recalled, he has to get 50% or more, or is it just more 50%? I'm not sure, but I think 51% he has to get. And if he doesn't get the majority on that one question, guess what? It goes to the second question, where a bunch of people are running to replace him. And he is the only person in California who can't be on that list. So the person who gets the most votes in that list becomes governor. So he could get to, let's say, 49.9% of people saying this should not happen. He should remain governor. Didn't get to 50%. Okay, so it goes to the second question, and some jackass gets 12% of the vote because there's 50 people running, and nobody got more than that. That person becomes governor. And that's another way the Republicans cheat, using the rules. There's got to be a name for this, because they're not breaking the rules, but boy, are they abusing the rules. It happens constantly in almost every scenario. So, fortunately, there's this guy, Larry Elder, who's a right-wing talk show host. Aren't they the worst?
Right-wing nut?
No, right-wing radio talk show host. They're just the lowest of the low. I say that because there's just so many of them, and because they all speak in a chorus of cockroaches.
A dime a dozen.
It would appear they are. It would appear they are.
Or less.
But yeah, he's one of them, and so that saves a lot of time. I don't have to explain the standard position he takes on almost every subject matter. But he became the front runner in the opposition. So, in other words, if Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom is, if he were to lose that first vote, then Larry Elder would become governor. So that prospect has galvanized Californians to turn out en masse today and over the last couple of weeks, I think, to vote against this. At least that's the impression that we're getting so far. We'll find out probably sometime after midnight. When it wasn't this one person, this one right-wing radio talk show host, it was a toss-up. People were worried that Democrats wouldn't be motivated to go out and vote on this random Tuesday in September and keep this guy's job. They were very worried about that. But when Larry Elder popped his head up, people said, oh, no, no way. And I think this is something that we need to really look at and say, you know, for every race that is in, a contested area, why not get a right-wing radio talk show host to run for the Republicans? it's almost a surefire guarantee that the Democrats will win. So let's encourage right-wing radio talk show hosts to run for office wherever possible. All right? Let's do that.
Yeah, it's up to you to embarrass yourself on the largest platform possible. And
I like that phrase. It's up to you. You know, let that be the theme mm-hmm. of tonight. It's up to you because you make decisions. You make your own decisions, right?
It's that, like, go big thing. I mm-hmm, really mm-hmm. love that. And I feel like the mayoral race in New York was the same way. There's was the guy with the cats and the beret and stuff. He was the opposition there. That was foolish.
Don't come to me and complain about the new mayor of New York City, okay? Because you all voted for him. You voted for the ex-cop. You voted for the guy that's more, quote-unquote, pro-business. You voted for the guy that's more centrist. And all you did was bitch and moan about de Blasio for the last 8 years. Okay, you could have done something with him. You could have made him useful. Instead, oh my God, the worst thing ever. Well, now you're going to find out what it means to move a bit to the right. And it's all your fault. I can say that because I don't vote in New York City. And the people who complain are the people that either back a candidate that has no chance and then get upset when they don't win. Or just spend the entire period of time complaining and criticizing the person who did get in when they could have done something more progressive with that person, and they just decided to make him an enemy instead. Well, now we'll see what happens in the next 4 years. Of course, that's assuming Curtis Sliwa doesn't get elected on the Republican side, but that's pretty laughable. But okay, getting back to Larry Elder. So he basically, this is a great headline, came out of Slate.com. Larry Elder announces he's, quote unquote, detected fraud in California recall vote results, which don't yet exist. I love when media headline people, there was a point midway in the Trump regime where they just said, you know, what the hell? I'm just going to say it like it is. I'm not going to pretend and be civil. No, I'm going to say Trump lied again. I'm going to say that people are detecting fraud in elections that haven't even been tabulated yet. Yeah, his leading Republican opponent, Gavin Newsom's leading Republican opponent, as we said, is a conservative talk show host. He's been endorsed by a number of the party's most nationally prominent right-wing figures, campaigning against vaccine mandates and campaigning pretty much for the vaccine. You realize that there are so many Republican politicians out there, governors out there, who trust the virus, who trust the COVID-19 virus more than Democrats. And I don't think that is something that is disputable. I think if I went up to one of these people and said, which would you prefer, COVID-19 or, pick a Democrat, Bernie Sanders? They would pick COVID-19 because they'd say, yeah, I can deal with that. That's not a big deal.
And they, in the same breath, would call it a prime example of germ warfare.
The same labored breath because they've had COVID-19 three times now, and they don't think it's a big deal. It's so sad. It's so pathetic. So, yeah, he's out there campaigning, or not anymore because today's election day, campaigning against vaccine mandates. And today, or yesterday, actually, NBC News reported that Elder's campaign website had begun linking to another site funded by his campaign, Stop CA Fraud, Stop California Fraud, which asserts that fraud has been detected in the results of the recall election, which, if you'll remember from earlier in the story, is not over. What?
No, just the way that sentence read, it sounded like we have a new system where voters get fraud alerts, just like your bank, but It's for your electoral process. Like, oh, just wanted to let you know there's been a fraud attempt. Yeah.
Was this you? Oh, my God. Yeah, I went through that last week with both Google and Facebook for some reason because my Wi-Fi went out. And when it came back, they freaked out. They said, someone has your password. No, that was me relogging in. But they wouldn't believe it. They kept sending me emails. Was this you? I said, yes. Okay, well, you have to change your password. Why? What? Why? Because you're paranoid? Because you don't know what you're doing? I know exactly what happened. You asked me a question. I answered. You don't believe me. I'm the account holder. Never mind. I'm just going to go on for an hour.
But there are systems in place for that, right? I mean, that's part of having the elections boards and having an independent party run them in committees and so forth. That trust has been really worn away. There's a lot of I feel for people in states where voters have been pushed away and discouraged from voting and in various ways and just dissuaded by mm-hmm. new rules and procedural or technical things that are being stripped or added, whichever way best suits those changing them. But it's pretty shocking, and I just hope people continue to exercise and participate in their process and, yeah, make sure that when there are fraud attempts and stuff, the system itself is alerted and it doesn't need to be as silly as what banks and email providers do. But
yeah,
it's,
but this is fraud of a different sort because...
Doesn't mean we should abandon it, though.
Well, I mean, what they're doing here is basically saying this fraud before it's even possible to detect fraud. There was a form, an online form on Larry Elder's site, basically saying that they detected fraud in the results of the California recall election. And here's a quote, resulting in Governor Gavin Newsom being reinstated as governor.
So
they already said that he's been reinstated as governor. This was yesterday. This was before Election Day.
I see. So it's a page sort of preemptively being generated that they can then link to. Presumably after the election, but maybe they just don't care is what we're hearing. I mean, why even participate in the run-up and the preliminary of it? You could just say, I'm not going to participate because it won't be fair.
Mm-hmm. And that is what happens lots of times.
If you truly believe, you know...
I'm not complaining about that. You know, if they convince their own followers to stay home because it's going to be fraud... well, I guess then instead of saying we were defeated, you could just say we were cheated. But that kind of rhymes too. You can make a song out of that. The Atlanta Senate races or the Georgia Senate races are certainly an example of that. Although I hope that even if all the Republicans did show up, that the Democrats would still have won that rather handily. But I guess we'll find out because one of them's coming up pretty soon.
So much slacking to do.
Yeah, but that's going to be something to watch. That's going to be something that's really worrisome. That's the fact that it could happen in the first place. And so much time was wasted just on that campaign. But it's also a good barometer on where Democrats are and if they can get their act together. And you know, it seems like we're spending so much time worrying about Democrats getting their act together when they have an opportunity to actually make some change. I mean, I don't have an answer on that damn filibuster. I do know that there are people standing in the way of it, and I'm not sure how to get around that. But if Democrats believe in anything, they need to figure out a way around that because we're going to have all sorts of things like the Texas abortion laws, like the looming Supreme Court ruling on Mississippi's abortion laws, and all kinds of other things being dismantled, things that we have taken for granted in this country. Equal rights, voting, that's a long, long list. And what Trump and the Republicans have done over the past number of years is stack the courts, not only appellate courts throughout the country, but the Supreme Court. And they've turned the dialogue around. And this is something that Democrats are always a victim of, having the dialogue turned around so that they're the ones being accused of trying to stack the court when the Republicans have done just that. They have stacked the Supreme Court so that overturning Roe versus Wade is now a distinct possibility. And what Democrats need to do is change that dialogue and broaden the court and change the language so that they're not always on the defensive, trying to speak to the talking points that Republicans come up with. Where they say, hey, you're the one saying defund the police. No, they're not. They're not the one saying that. A relatively small number of people are saying things like that. And in fact, Republicans' actions in their reaction to January 6th and funding of communities, that's more anti-police than anything the Democrats have done. So they need to turn that dialogue around and not be manipulated so much by Republicans. They don't seem to know how to win that game.
It's that close margin they're exploiting, as well as much sabotage, like the thrust of priorities that have already been rolling and sort of in place, along the lines of reproductive and other stuff that's been sort of preloaded with the past administration. But at the same time, it's sort of a twisting inside out of resisting anything in place because the margin's so close, be it budget, be it a bill for infrastructure, and even geopolitics in Afghanistan and so forth. They're as much tearing and fissures they can create as their preloaded agendas are sort of being unfurled. They're trying to, they're there already on them, and the Democrats being slow to kind of realize it might not be as fast to this stuff. I think that's the feeling, is that there'll be as much resistance in every place possible, and wherever they have something ready to go, it's going to be pushed through as quickly as possible before anything in this administration or in the states houses and so forth can react to it, specifically gerrymandering. Now the census is back and those races and upcoming midterms.
The upcoming midterms. You know, I want to hear more from Democrats about how they are going to expand their majority instead of constantly hearing about how they need to protect what they have. In what universe could Republicans possibly be at an advantage? They have basically plunged this country into debt. The disaster of the COVID-19 response last year resulted in hundreds of thousands of people dead who did not need to die. And right now we have this farce, this absolute farce, where basic science, medicine, and healthcare are being debated as political issues. Simply because Democrats stand up for something. They stand up for vaccines and for social distancing and masking, all of which are scientifically proven to help fight the virus. I keep mixing those two words up. To fight the virus and basically get us past this. Because they're the ones supporting that. That means Republicans have to oppose it. No, that's not how things work. It's how things have worked under Trump. I know that. It shouldn't be the way things work now. We should all be agreeing on this. And I know plenty of people who are Republicans who do agree, and they're sensible. I disagree with them politically, but I respect them as individuals, and they're doing the smart, right thing. There are plenty of Republicans out there who are great people, smart people, and we just disagree on certain things. But those people out there who think everything that is said in the other camp is wrong or part of some massive conspiracy, boy, you are really going down a bad path, and it's not going to turn out well for you and for many others as a result. I mean, we should be past all this by now. If we had something like 80, 85% of the population fully vaccinated, like we were hoping, do you think people would have to wear masks again? Do you think people would have to be worried about getting together in groups? No. The numbers tell you that that is not the case. But because there are all these, I don't mind calling them morons because they are morons out there who insist on saying that despite what scientists and doctors, epidemiologists, and all these experts have said, they're all part of the conspiracy, the NIH and the CDC and WHO, they're all in on it. And it's some kind of a conspiracy, a plot. I don't know what the end result is. I've never actually gotten that far. But because those people have gotten the ear of other people who basically are gullible, no offense to the gullible people, but we all are gullible to somebody with an authoritarian voice. They basically have prevented us from reaching the plateau we need to be at. And now we're looking at more of this. We're looking at the vaccines that have been given losing their effectiveness over time. That's not a surprise either. You know, after 6 months or so, we expected it to go down a little bit. Well, if not enough people got the vaccine, you're going to have a situation where they're going to have to get more. You know, there's already a debate going on in the medical community, and this is a true debate in the medical community about whether or not booster shots will be needed sooner rather than later. That's going to be a lot more complicated if a sizable amount of people remain unvaccinated, because they will be at risk. And we're seeing so many breakthrough cases where people don't get as sick as if they didn't have the vaccine, but they're still getting the virus and they're spreading the virus. And this is all without even considering what other variants might be down the road waiting for us. So this could get really, really bad. And I blame the people that are spreading misinformation. And we can't tolerate this. We can't tolerate this kind of malicious idiocy that is killing us. It is literally killing us. And just because you say, I don't agree, okay, that's great, you don't agree, but the facts aren't on your side. And the facts that you're citing have been disproven over and over and over again. Bringing them up yet again doesn't make them any more valid. But this is, I mean, have you ever had an argument like this with somebody who just refuses to believe no matter what the evidence shows? God himself could come down from the sky and say, you are wrong, and they'd still think it was some kind of a plot?
Well, also the setup, the political setup, is that people have been primed to accept that there are, the differences are correlated with a party allegiance. And any excuse or quote evidence, be it a conspiracy or otherwise, fills that. It satisfies it, because the setup is, the alternative is, as you had spoken to, the alternative is, some horrible disease.
Mm-hmm.
There are other developments in the disease, but there are supply shortages, vaccines, and the disease mutations are continuing because of the rates you're talking about being low. There's hope. There are other projects, the Novavax project, but it's being delayed by supplies and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, we are in a precarious time with this health thing. And I find that it really has served those political ends and as an excuse to cover up a lot of the political traitors and seditionists, and not having to talk about their support of that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems really, it seems like a false comparison when you're dealing with people who want to destroy another party and upend an entire system of a institution that's lasted for many years in a representative government. And that is insulting alongside a pandemic where so many people have worked to get the messaging and the information right to as many people. It's completely undermined public health in service of really ugly political ends. It's unfortunate for those people that are being sacrificed.
Right.
By a political wing.
Well said. Well said, because they are being sacrificed. That is certainly true, and I hope that is recognized someday as what these people are actually doing. I do take issue, though. I don't think the our health system has been completely decimated by this. I think a lot of people are still standing up, speaking out loudly against this. I do think it has been hurt. I do think a lot of people are not getting the treatment they need, because they're believing people who have no idea what they're talking about and have political ambitions. It sure doesn't help when you have pro-virus elected officials, and that is an accurate term, the Lee Zeldins, the Ron DeSantis's, the Marjorie Taylor Greens. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And they basically are more upset that somebody is telling you that you need to get this than the fact that so many people have been dying around them. it's like a toddler, you know, who basically doesn't know what's best for him and will scream and cry at his parents until you trick him into doing what it is you needed him to do in the first place. which is something that he's better off for. I can't think of a never raised a toddler, but I don't know, eating vegetables or going to the bathroom or taking a nap, whatever you need a toddler to do. They're reacting in the same damn way. And I think they have to be treated in the same damn way because they're acting like, I'm about to call toddlers idiots. That's not really fair. They're acting like toddlers.
Well,
how
toddlers
about that?
Know better, too.
They
about,
do know
like,
better.
The germs, mm-hmm. washing hands.
I see kids who are really serious about wearing the mask. Their parents aren't telling them to do that. They're doing it themselves. In fact, they're telling their parents to put on the damn mask because they take it seriously. They know one thing or another. But seriously, the way these politicians have been acting, it's tantamount to a really, really serious crime against humanity, I think. Ron DeSantis alone, governor of Florida, he's basically threatening businesses and towns that try to enforce mask mandates. You know, mask mandates basically are called for under certain situations where the disease is running rampant. And masks have been proven to work in the past. Yeah, we're all sick of it. Of course we are. But we can't change the reality that the virus is still here and that not enough people got vaccinated and that this is a way, especially in schools where there's lots of kids together, all of whom are unvaccinated, you need to keep that from spreading and being brought back to your house. And the kids don't really mind this as a rule, you know, but parents do. And in fact, parents are organizing these student walkout demonstrations. I think there was one last Friday. I didn't hear anything about it, actually, so I guess it wasn't that big. But I heard about it beforehand. And every time I saw any kind of report on it, it wasn't the kids doing this on their own. It was the kids at the behest of their parents doing this. And I just imagine there are all these school kids around someplace who are secretly wearing masks and hoping that their parents don't find out. That's how bad it's gotten. And the same thing is happening here on Long Island. I mentioned Lee Zeldin, of course. He's the ringleader of this whole anti-science movement, our elected representative. By the way, did you see what he did on 9/11? Oh, my God. Well, you saw what Trump did on 9/11.
Boo.
Okay, yeah, but that doesn't really describe it well, Colin.
Yeah, he was yucking it up with a bunch of cops.
Yeah, he just basically used 9/11 to visit with a bunch of cops, which is fine, but then just making jokes and then talking about himself, as he always does, talking about his political ambitions. That's really not what 9/11 is about. And then Republicans are making fun of Biden, who was visiting all the sites where planes crashed, and somehow he's doing it wrong, or he's not as nimble as you want him to be. I don't know. They're making fun of everything he does.
It's not worth trying to figure out.
It's not the same thing as when people criticize Trump, because they criticized him over things he actually said and did and actions he took. But in Biden's case, they're finding anything they possibly can, from, you know, his physical appearance to his stuttering to his age. It's really lowered the bar considerably. But anyway, Lee Zeldin, he sent out this this mass email that was supposed to be about 9/11, but it was signed quite prominently, Lee Zeldin, candidate for New York State governor. You know, Lee Zeldin, you know what you are? Unfortunately, you are the representative for the first district here in New York. Nowhere in your damn letter did you say that. And you know what? I don't believe you actually are the representative anymore, because you're so fixated on running for governor now. That's all you talk about. And to use 9/11 as a way to campaign for that is completely shameless. And the thing that's really insane, the way he's campaigning, you think the election was coming up in November. It's not. It's not until next year, a year from November. And can you imagine how bad he'll be in a year? Oh, my God.
Self-conscious, any? You might need a little extra time. You're trying to, let's just say that's like a little extra runway you got there for your little jalopy. Wow.
Yeah.
Just eye-watering, isn't it?
Here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, which actually we're technically not on physically, but we're very close. I like to think sanity prevails. It's a college campus, great college campus. People are sharing all kinds of ideas and things like that. But in the case of COVID, I think from the beginning, Stony Brook has taken it seriously, has gotten it right, has tried to prepare as much as possible. Yes, they built the field hospital, which never had to be used. Republicans mocked them for that, saying, well, you wasted all this money. Yeah, you know what? It's a lot better than what's going on in those states where their ICUs are full now and people are dying. People who don't have COVID are dying because they can't get into the hospitals because they're filled with idiots who didn't take the vaccine. You see what Jimmy Kimmel said last week? He said basically, if you refuse to take the vaccine and you now have to be hospitalized as a result of getting COVID, and you're up against somebody who has to get into the emergency room for some other reason, basically rest in peace. You know, if it's down to you too. He got a lot of crap for that, but I totally see where he was coming from. I mean, why? Why should other people be sacrificed because you made a bad decision? You didn't listen. You refused to listen. There are consequences for that. I know the medical community would never do that. I know they have a very high standard of care. But is it fair in your world to let other people die because you didn't listen to the facts? People who had nothing to do with this? That's what we're facing right now. It's getting worse and worse. What was that we heard about Idaho earlier?
Oh, sure. They've run out of space and from what I read this morning, there's some reports of staff being so fatigued in Seattle with an influx of patients from out of state. They've been working double shifts as it is, that they're abandoning posts and just not able to take more of what has already been an insane 18 months. So
Idaho,
they're out of room there. They're sending patients to Washington, and already stressed system there can't handle it, and they're losing employees as a result.
Not to mention patients.
Well, that's even, I mean, that's like goes without saying. It's absolutely, you don't see it because it's all going on in the hospitals, and people are really keen to forget this whole thing, and that's understandable, but not going to help.
Okay, so anyway, I wanted to just go over as an example what we're doing here at Stony Brook, because I think this is the model. I think this is what we should be doing everywhere. As you might know, school has started again, the fall semester of 2021. All students are required to obtain a negative COVID test taken within 7 days before coming to Stony Brook for the fall semester. All unvaccinated residential students are required to participate in free on-campus COVID PCR testing 2 times a week during the entire semester. All unvaccinated commuter students are required to participate in free on-campus COVID PCR testing 1 a week during the fall semester. All vaccinated students are required to participate in free on-campus COVID PCR surveillance testing at a reduced frequency as compared to previous semesters. Multiple rounds of scheduled surveillance testing will take place at regular intervals, to which students will be randomly assigned and notified via their SBU email and or text message. Employees, and that includes us. We're not employees. We don't get paid, but we act like employees. We show up. We're there, you know, and we're not students. Well, some of us are students, but...
Unpaid volunteers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a formal position, but we do agree to policies of the station and, of course, the campus, the wider campus. And most of the time, people adhere to that.
Fully vaccinated employees, including auxiliary workers, vendors, anyone with a regular on-campus presence, may opt out from mandatory weekly testing upon submitting documentation showing completion of a full vaccination series. Individuals who submit proof of being fully vaccinated will only be required to test approximately once a month. Yeah, imagine that.
It's not too bad.
Even come into the station, this is what you have to do. This COVID PCR surveillance testing will take place regularly, and individuals will be randomly assigned and notified. Mandatory weekly surveillance testing will continue to be required for any person who has a physical presence on campus and who has not been fully vaccinated or who has not shown proof of vaccination. So we're taking it very seriously here, where we don't just let unvaccinated people into facilities to spread the disease around. It would be foolish. It would be insane to do that.
You imagine if you're a parent sending your first year college student to a place that's assuring you that the facilities and the people on campus are taking precautions, and then you find out that there are parts of the campus that are not adhering to that, you'd be upset, wouldn't
imagine
you?
Imagine sending your grandmother to events on campus.
Yeah, maybe she's coming to your performance.
It's quite possible. Mm-hmm. It's quite possible. Or maybe she does a radio show here. Who knows? This is what we need to do. And guess what? We're surviving. We're doing just fine. And we get, sure, there are the occasional idiots who don't get it. And I'm sorry, we have to be strict. This is an emergency. This is something that we've never lived through before. The last time something like this happened was in the early 20th century. And I don't think any of us are around now who are around then. But there are a couple of people like that, and they all say, yeah, do what you're doing now, because that's how this works. When you see or hear people that try and minimize this or come up with these arguments, don't let them get away with it. Speak out at every occasion and make sure they know that what they're saying is not supported either by facts or by people. And that includes elected officials. That includes people in your family. That includes wayward friends, employers, employees, anyone. Our survival is at stake here. And one of the reasons that we are still here remotely is because it hasn't quite reached the stage yet where it's safe, where it's completely safe. And better to be set up here than have to keep switching back and forth.
And don't get bogged down in this. There's a lot that's meant to just keep it something murky that it really was never and does not have to be in like a both sides or some debate. There's no debate, and I think that's that ship has sailed.
Well, no, try it. Okay, come up with one of the points that we keep hearing from. You know, we get email because now apparently we're part of the conspiracy. That's how I know there's no conspiracy. When people say, oh, you're part of the conspiracy now, you're in with the pharmaceutical companies and whatever global forces are at work. And you just sit there stunned saying, okay, just by backing the science, now I'm part of the conspiracy. It's hard to remain civil in cases like this. We have to try. Boy, it's hard. But come at me with one of the points that people keep bringing up, and let's see if I can shut it down.
So many people have died because of the vaccine.
What? Can you cite your sources? So many people have died from the vaccine.
People are saying
there's
people everywhere.
Yeah, people are saying all kinds of things, but these people either don't exist or they're as misled as you are.
They don't need the refrigerator trucks, but
okay,
there's...
Okay, do you know how many people have died from the virus?
There's a lot, though, still.
You might be mixing up those words again, you know, vaccine and virus. Okay?
Wait, how do you spell vaccine?
People have not... I mean, sure, people can die from bee stings. They can die from all sorts of things. So there is a tiny, tiny number that could die from a vaccine, any vaccine. That is possible. But it is nothing statistically significant. And I hate to put someone's life in that phrase... But if you didn't have the vaccine, you would have millions more dead, millions more.
I've already had COVID 10 times and I'm naturally immune because okay. I make out with all my best buds.
Okay, fool. Look, if you've had COVID that many times, you really, really need to get checked out for a number of reasons. You're spreading the disease all over the place. You're clearly not taking precautions, having gotten it that many times. And just because you've gotten it does not make you immune. Obviously, you just proved that you got it several times, or 10 times, any one of those times could be the last time. And I don't mean that in a good way. But more importantly, because I really don't respect you at all, you put other people at risk, and they are the ones that don't deserve it. No, it's not fair to say anybody deserves it. But, you know, it's so hard not to. You want to try one more? This is fun. I'm enjoying it, but go ahead.
Are we still on just vaccines?
No, it could be anything part of the conspiracy.
Part of the conspiracy. Okay. The world government is taking over, and they need all of us to become sterile.
Okay. This world government that you speak of, I want to know more about it, because what I see starvation, I see climate change, I see civil war, I see misery everywhere. And you're telling me there's a world government out there? You know, if I could have some input into this world government, maybe they could actually get something done. But what I see a lot of people talking past each other. I see a lot of people engaging in endless battles. I see the human race constantly falling behind and basically getting in its own way. A world government would be amazing, but I don't think we're anywhere close to having something like that. If please give me their phone number, fax machine, anything. I want to know who this world government is, because it can't be worse than some of the things I'm seeing right now. And in Star Trek, it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, that would.
When all else fails, go to Star Trek.
Okay. I don't even believe the last part either, because I know some post-COVID babies that are expected soon. Yeah,
I don't even know what that means. Post-COVID babies,
that are soon to emerge, and they didn't exist before the pandemic.
Okay, but we're not post-COVID. So,
well, I mean post-vaccine. I mean, since the vaccine occurred, so.
COVID is like the third. COVID is like the third most popular baby name now.
There is child rearing going on after the vaccine, so I guess anyway. Yeah, that would be a cool name.
COVID, it is a cool name.
COVID.
You know, I found somebody. I think it's in Queens who has the name COVID in the phone book. Poor guy, or a woman. I'm not sure. Okay, so the Massapequa School Board, Massapequa South Shore. Is it Nassau or is it Suffolk? I'm not sure. I'm going to bet, it's Amityville and Massapequa. They're next to each other. One of them's in Suffolk. One of them's in Nassau. Do we get the Amityville Horror or do we get Massapequa? I'm not sure which. It doesn't really matter. It's on the border. You couldn't really tell, I guess, if you're in Nassau or Suffolk, except for the accent, obviously. So Massapequa School Board trustees have approved filing a lawsuit against New York State challenging the school mask mandate that state authorities imposed to reduce the spread of the coronavirus. Massapequa, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why? Why are you wasting your time opposing a mask mandate with New York State? I mean, what do you think is going to happen here? You think they'll say, oh, yeah, you're right. It doesn't make sense to try and stop the disease spreading. Neither the health commissioner nor the new governor, Kathy Hochul, have the power to establish a statewide mask mandate policy as an emergency health measure, said school board president Kerry Wachter. Kerry, seriously, did you go to school in Massapequa? Because, boy, that's an indictment of their system. The health commissioner doesn't have the power in an emergency health measure to establish a statewide mask mandate. What exactly are they for? I mean, it's a state position. They're health experts. There is a health emergency. We're talking about New York State. It couldn't be any more relevant. Obviously, they have the right to do this. Obviously, that's what states are for. Now, you know, if you go down to Florida, where it's the opposite, where basically you have an idiot in power who is trying to get health officials to not be listened to, there's a valid case. There's a valid case to fight that because it's nonsensical to ignore a health emergency, which is what they are doing. And if you look, you'll see hospitals are filling up in Florida. It's, you know, big red dots everywhere. If you look at the maps that show where it's becoming critical, and it's sad to just watch people dying as a result of this. So. I just cannot process a school district objecting to keeping their kids safe, which is what masks do. And in situations where the virus is running rampant, the vaccine has not been given to the people in question, what would you suggest? Sometimes you just have to ask that. Sometimes you have to ask people, Okay, so tell me, what's the answer then? And just sit back and listen for a minute, because that's about how much you can take before.
What if a classroom was a laboratory? I mean, hear me out. I mean, I don't know what age they got the beakers and the little microscopes going, but you would want some, like, safety goggles and, like, you know, a lab coat, maybe some gloves when you're handling the fluoric acid and all that. I mean, you would expect that as a basic precaution for kids, right?
I want to see, I'm just thinking about that. I want to see a bunch of kids, and I'm not telling them to do this. They have to do this on their own. But say from Massapequa, a bunch of kids just storm that board meeting, that school district meeting, and say, you guys don't know what you're talking about. We're the kids in question. We want to be safe. We want to do what's scientifically correct. You're a bunch of idiots. Of course, kids, you can't tell your parents because your parents are probably part of this whole thing, but I'll tell you, they'll respect you more in the end. And I think it's worth it to stand up for that. And, you know, I hate to use the phrase, do your own research, but if you do research and you accept the findings, that's the people who say do your own research, they don't want you to accept the findings if they don't agree with what they say. And inevitably, you will find the scientific community, the medical community, of course, all of them are part of the conspiracy, you'll find they reach certain conclusions that are pretty much indisputable. Now, at that point, what do you do? Do you accept that? Or do you say, aha, they're saying the same thing that all these other people are saying, therefore, they're all part of the conspiracy? That's not the right road to go down. That's the road to go down if somebody has already told you the conclusions and are just telling you, do your own research and find a way to get to that conclusion. Yeah, that's the difference. You know, I honestly think kids are a lot smarter and they can figure this out and not think in political terms, you know, not say, oh, this person was appointed by a Democrat, therefore they're evil and I can't listen to anything they're saying, so I have to listen to somebody else that says something completely different, even though they have absolutely no scientific background whatsoever, but they're the same political party that I agree with. Kids don't think that way. That's why maybe we should just leave this in their hands.
I also think that their technical literacy is such that, like, when you tell them a lot of this information is coming from the World Wide Web, mm-hmm. they're cognizant of the fact that this is a whole lot of opinions that do not necessarily share the same national interests as us. And it has had such a derisive and just, like, a corrosive effect on really anything. It's really just been a mess. I think that the understanding that it could be false and anything that's, like, pushing you away from stuff that really has been thoroughly analyzed and agreed upon is probably damaging and probably not something in the interest of us having some kind of consensus. And we really, in the unification, the united aspect of our country is about reaching some kind of consensus. And something like this pushing so far in opposite directions, you have to conclude that this is not something that will form consensus. And coming from the outside, from everywhere else, you got to be really skeptical and critical.
Okay, we only have 2 minutes left, and we won't really have time to discuss this, but I do want to get this out. Smithtowns, the town of Smithtowns town board, has scheduled a September 23rd public hearing for legislation to opt out of a provision of New York State marijuana law legalizing retail sale of the drug. Two board members, Supervisor Edward Wierheim and Tom Lohman, have already said in interviews that they see little benefit to allowing dispensaries and cafes in the town. This is the town of Smithtown, not the village. It's much, much bigger. They see little benefit in that, at least for now. The state law passed in March gives municipalities until December 31st to opt out of retail sales. Islip has already done this. Shelter Island has already done this. The Smithtown Village of Nisqually has already done this, although they don't really have any stores there, so I don't know how they would even do it. They can opt back in at any time. And once you opt in, you can't opt out after that. What they're relying on is just bad information. Unfortunately, we won't have time to really discuss it. Maybe next week we can. I just want to read you this quote. I spent 7 years in narcotics in the city in the height of the crack epidemic. I had multiple training classes by the DEA, and every single one I've taken, every single one, the constant was that marijuana was a gateway drug to harder use narcotics. Yeah, every day in Suffolk County, and almost every other day in the 4th Precinct, there's a drug overdose. This was basically a quote from one of the opponents, who obviously had police connections. But he's wrong. He's wrong. To say that marijuana is a gateway to other drugs, it's not. What's a gateway is the illegality. That is the gateway to other drugs. When you have to buy something in a dark alley someplace, well, the person selling that to you might have access to things that are illegal as well, more illegal. But to say that smoking a joint somehow will make you want to do crack or heroin or cocaine or no, that's not factual. This is ignorance. And Smithtown's going down a very bad road here as well. So the meeting is September 23rd. And there is no information here as to where it is. You can probably figure it out, probably at the Smithtown Town Board House, wherever that is. Today is what, the 14th? So tomorrow, or next week is the 21st. We'll have time to discuss it then. Let's take this up at that time.
I think responsible use has to be really emphasized. The more illegal you make something, the harder it is to control.
We're going to have to leave it there. And by the way, Kyle, I had this song picked out before you said it's up to you before. So thank you for that phrase. And that's the theme. It's up to you. Good night. Kids, Finn's Revolution with you right here on this Tuesday night on WUSB in Stony Brook. And tonight we have artist, musician Damon Tomolino with us. Stay tuned for that. And a little nod to Amy Winehouse on her birthday. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Yeah, 10% Reptile right here on WUSB Stony Brook from their album The Big Boycott. And 10% Reptile is the band, and that's Point Fingers from the album The Big Boycott. And the maker of this music is going to be on with us in just a few moments. Painter, musician, Damon Tomolino. So just hold your army there. Here comes Army Ants right now from this record.